Okay, so we are holding on Vav Amud Aleph, nine lines from the bottom. The line begins who? We learned yesterday that Shiurim Chatzitzin Umchitzin are Halacha Mishum Sinai. Details about the fact the various Shiurim in Torah, for example, we said that most things involving eating involve Kazayas. We had things involving wheat and barley and all the other Shivas Aminim. We said as Allah HaMashim Sinai, even if we learn from the Pasuk, even if we said we have a Pasuk that refers to the Shivas Aminim and hints at those, we said that Pasuk is an Asmachta, we're not actually learning the Shiuri Torah from there. So now, we said also Chatzitzin, the Dinim of Chatzitza, or Mechitzin, and the Halachas of Mechitzis are also Halach HaMashim Sinai. So let's figure out what that means. The Gemara asks Chatzitzin, Daraisin, if you Isn't the rules of Chatzitza, aren't they Daraisa? And if they're, meaning they're written in the Pasuk, and if you have something written in a Pasuk, and it's not Halacha Meshuv Sinai, the Pasuk says about a person who's Tomei that he should wash his flesh in water. There's a couple of possibilities what the actual Pasuk is. Rashi instead brings a Pasuk, V'rochat Psoray, whatever, the point is that there are psukim that Rashi says, yeah, so whatever, there are a couple of different psukim about it, so, and from that we learn that there should be nothing separating between him and the water. Or whatever the pasuk is exactly means only his flesh, not with anything attached to it. So it implies that clearly in a pasuk, and if it's implied clearly in a pasuk, then it's not, then that's not Halacha Meshuv Sinai. The answer is ki esrei hilchos l'sa'arai. Yeah, but you could say that the Halacha Meshuv Sinai comes to tell us that as far as his hair, that if there's a chatzitza on his hair, then there would be a problem. And what kind of chatzitza do we mean? Not when there's some other foreign substance on the hair, but rather kederav babachana, like the way Rav Babachana explains it. Damar Rav Babachana. If you have one hair tied, you have a knot in the middle of a hair, then it's a chatzitza. And Rashi also adds, we're talking about if he's makpid on it. The point is, if you have one hair that's knotted, then the knot is very tight, therefore water is not going to reach that part of the hair. On the other hand, shalosh en chatzitzas, he says if you have three hairs tied together like that, then it's not a chatzitza, because hair is stiff. So if you have three of them tied together, then it's not really going to make a strong knot such that no water will get in. Shtayim, any idea, but he says if you have two, then I don't know. Is it more like one or is it more like three? Elsewhere, there's a Gemara where Rabbi Yochanan says that only one is a problem. There is a different explanation. We're not talking about over here where one hair is tied, in other words, where there's a knot in the middle of the hair, but rather we're talking about where a couple of hairs are tied together. Same idea. In other words, if you have, let's say, two or three or whatever hair is tied together or knotted together with three other ones, then it's not going to be a tight enough knot because, again, the hair is stiff and therefore water would be able to penetrate. So the Halacha Meshuv Sinai would be telling us about such things, that if you have a chatzitza involving the hair and not the body, that would be a chatzitza. The question is, Sairinami Daraisa. That's also Daraisa. Dichtiv Rochas S Vesore Bamayim, and S means a topal of Sore. The word S means something that's additional to his skin. Umayni Usore. That would be his hair. Now, there is, in fact, elsewhere, there's a famous Gemara that's brought in a couple of places where it says that Shimon Ham Suni, or Nechemia Ham Suni, used to darshan all the Esim in the Torah until he came to Es Hashem Elokech Atira, decided, you can't, what do you compare to the Yira of Hashem, and therefore he said, never mind then, no, we're not darshaning the word Es, until Rabbi Akiva came and taught the Lord Abbas Samad HaChamim. So fine, according to Shimon Ham Suni or Nechemia Ham Suni, then we would say we can't learn from S Besari. But according to Rabbi Akiva, that we could learn from S, then from that we have that the hair also can have chatzitza on it. So again, what is the Halacha Meshuv Sinai coming to accomplish then, if we already have it hinted at in the Pasuk? The answer is Kiyasoi Hilchasel Lechidir Rabbi Yitzchak. The answer is the Halacha Meshuv Sinai teaches us what Rabbi Yitzchak says. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, Minat Torah, it would be as follows, which are again, Minat Torah meaning Halacha Meshuv Sinai, the rule would be for a chatzitza, Ruboi Umachbid Olav Chotzitz. Only if you have most of it is a chatzitza, and he's machbid, and he minds that being the case, He wants to get rid of it. Only then will it be chotzit. Rashi says, for example, you're talking about if most of his hair is dirty, or let's say most of his hair is individually, the individual strands are knotted. So then because it's a roiv, then therefore, and he's makbid on it, then therefore it would be chatzitza. Tosfos actually says, so the implication from Rashi seems to be that we're talking only about the hair, that this topic of ruboy or makbid olav maybe wouldn't even apply to the body. Tosfos discusses not necessarily, it may well apply to the body as well. On top of that, also, you have a machlokas between the Geonim and the Rambam. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Mikvos that there are Geonim who learn that we treat the hair and the body separately. So, like Rashi says over here, if you have that most of his hairs are knotted, most of his hairs have one knot each in them, then we would say that that all by itself is considered a chatzitza, even though the rest of his body is clear of chatzitzas. The Rambam himself disagrees and says no. What we would do with the hair, we have to look at the hair and the rest of the body together. So if the chatzitzas are on the hair and you also have chatzitzas on various parts of the body, such that it adds up to roiv, then you're going to say that it's a chatzitza. But if you had, so in this scenario, if you had a knot in each hair, and the majority of the hairs were that way, but the rest of his body is free of chatzitzas, then the Rambam holds that wouldn't be considered d'oraisa, which is what we're talking about over here, it wouldn't be considered a chatzitza, because you count the hair together with the body. So d'oraisa then, from halacha l'mishnah Sinai, you have to have ruboy and makbid olav. You have to have that it covers the majority of the hair, according to the Geonim, and apparently according to Rashi as well, of the hair plus the body, according to the Rambam. And so, and he's makbid on it. I'm going to bring up an interesting point, by the way. What if we say that he can't tovel with it, then automatically he's makbid on it anyway, you know, because he has to get rid of it in order to be able to tovel. So then any chatzitza is going to be a problem, d'oraisa. And one of the answers is that we don't count it as a heder where he's only being makbid because of the din. We're talking about where he's being makbid because he doesn't want his hair knotted, or he doesn't want dirt on his body or his hair or what have you, not when he's only concerned about it because of the halakh. Okay. Anyway, the she'enei makbid olav, even if you have something covering the majority of the body, or even if you have knots in most of the hair, enei chotzit on d'oraisa, halakha l'mishnah Sinai, it would not be considered a chatzitza. The gozru, now the chachamim made a gzera that you can't tovel al ruba she'enei makbid mishum ruba yamakbid. That you can't tovel when you have a chatzitza on most of the body, or according to everybody else, most of the hair, even if he's not makbid, mishum ruboy hamakbid, because it might be confused with the case where it's a roiv and he is makbid. Val miyote hamakbid, mishum ruboy hamakbid. And also, that even if the chatzitza is on a miyot, but he's makbid on it, because you might confuse that with ruboy hamakbid. This applies, by the way, not only to toveling to tevila of people, but also tevila of kalim. This is on a d'oraisa level, for example, when you go and buy a keli and it has a sticker on it, d'oraisa, you wouldn't have had to remove it before you tovel, because based on what we're saying over here, only if it covered roiv and your makbid. Midrabanan, though, was saying that even though it's only a miyuk, but you are makbid on it, you're not going to use the keli on an ongoing basis with that sticker on it, therefore you have to remove it before you tovel it.
Most people are makbid on it.
Yeah, that's the thing. They usually do take them off, especially because they don't want them in the way when they're going to wash the keli, for example. So it becomes makbid, and therefore it's a chatzitza. So the question is, why didn't the chachamim make a zera about, so let's think of it. You have makbid and not makbid. You have ruboy and miyote. So that gives us four permutations. So we said one of them is d'oraisa, two of them are d'rabanan. What about the fourth one? Why don't we say the ligs are nami on miyote shenim makbid mishum miyote am makbid? Why don't we say that even if there's a miyote and he's not makbid on it, then we should consider it to be a chatzitza because it might be confused with a miyote that he is makbid on, inami mishum ruba shenim makbid, or because he might confuse it with a roiv that he's not makbid. And the answer is, he gufa gzera, the very fact that you're saying that those other two cases is a chatzitza, is only midrabanan, v'anan nekum v'nigza gzera l'gzera, you want us to make gzera on top of gzera, the chachamim don't do that. Sometimes we say they do because we say it's kol achad gzera, it's all one big gzera, because the chachamim figured out that if you're misakin one and not the other, then it's not going to stand. People are not going to realize that distinction. But here, the Chachamim did not find it necessary to consider it a chatzitza when it's a miyut and you're not makbid, because you might confuse it with a roiv that you are makbid, and therefore, because it's two different, it's the opposite scenario, therefore the Chachamim left it that the way it is. Okay, in any case, the point is that the halacha l'moshe Sinai refers to the fact that this business about ruboy versus miyotay and about makbid versus sheini makbid. And then, on top of that, you have dinim d'rabba. Okay. What about mechitzin hada'amara? We said the third thing that's halacha l'moshe Sinai in the group. We had shiurim, chatzitzin, and mechitzin. So mechitzin hada'amara. We just said before that how do we learn that a mechitzin has to be at least 10 tefachim tall? We're learning it. Where do we know that a mechitza has to be at least 10 tefachim tall? We're learning from halacha l'moshe Sinai. So the question is, hanichal Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying it's halacha l'moshe Sinai. Because again, according to him, we said the oren plus the kaporis equals only 8.5 tefachim. If we're going to learn from the way that the kruvim's wings hang over the kaporis, then we said, since the bottoms of the wings are going to be 20 tefachim off the floor, as the Gemara calculated yesterday, then it means that if the order in itself is only 8.5, then it means the height from the top of the kaporis to the bottom of the wings is 11.5 tefachim. And therefore, we said we can't learn it from there according to the Yehuda, and therefore we said we have to learn it from Allah HaMashiach Mishnah. But what are you going to say according to the mayor? According to him, we can actually learn it from the Kruvim. According to him, the Oren plus Kaporis equals 10. From there to the bottom of the wings of the Kruvim is another 10. And according to him, you have a source and a posit, because it says on it, Seichachim b'chanfehim, that they screen the Porechus with their wings, Seichachim from the same Shurdash as Schach. And therefore we learn that Schach has to be above 10 Tvachim. So according to him, in what sense is mechitzin halacha l'moshe Sinai? The answer is ki asori hilchasa. Yeah, but the halacha l'moshe Sinai, according to the mayor, you would say is coming to teach us other dinim of mechitzis. Good, it comes to teach us the concept of good. Good literally means pull. So it means sometimes we say la halacha that we pull a wall and consider it, we extend it upward or downward. You have good asik and good achis respectively, where we have to consider a wall as though it's pulled downward from where it is, or as though it's pulled upward from where it is. For example, we had the case where a person builds a pillar as a sukkah. Is it kosher? Do we consider that it has virtual walls? So Abayad said yes. Okay, Rabbah said no, because it's not mechitzis and ikaris. Because you can't see when you're standing on top of the pillar over there, you don't see mechitzas around you. But nevertheless, as far as Hilchos Shabbos, such things are considered walls. Because we do imagine as though the sides of the block were pulled upward and form walls. That's an example of good. That would be an example of good asik where you lift up a wall. So that's one. That's something we learned from our halacha measurement tonight. The lavud. Also, for example, the concept of lavud, which we're going to talk about soon in the next piece of Gemara, where we say that two things within three tefachim are considered joined together. We're going to have examples of that in various places in the Perek. The dopen akuma, and also the concept that we can consider a wall to be bent or to be moved over, which we talked about the other day, for example, that if you have schach hossel less than 4 amos wide, then we said we consider as though that's, so we said actually the two different ways of understanding dopen akuma is it that schach hossel actually becomes part of the wall, as if the wall is L-shaped, or do we mean actually that it's just considered as though the wall itself curves and goes towards the kosher schach, and that posel schach is outside the sukkah. Whatever, such things we wouldn't know outside of our halacha l'moshe Sinai. So even according to the mayor, we could still validly say that mechitzin, that details of mechitzis, are halacha l'moshe Sinai. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, the she'en lo sholosh defonis. We said that another way a sukkah is posel is if it doesn't have three walls. So first we're going to talk about how we know that, and then we're going to talk about how you construct those three walls. The first two walls have to be made properly, seven tefach or seven tefachim or more. or shlishis after the tefach, and then the third one can be even only a tefach, and we're going to discuss in the next piece of Gemara where exactly you place that tefach. So you have, in other words, you have to start out with two walls that are shaped like an L, like you have the diagram in Rashi over here. We're going to talk about later in the Gemara, we're going to talk about on Zion and Aleph, what happens if instead the two walls are parallel to one another. Anyway, so that's according to the Chachamim. So the first diagram in Rashi over here shows an L shape, shows an L shape where you have two walls constructed like that, proper walls, and then you're going to add, the third wall is only a tefach. Reb Shimon, have a shalosh kilchasan or reviyas afil tefach. Reb Shimon says, no, you have to have three complete walls, and then the fourth one can be only a tefach. So, but my committee, what is the underlying machlokes? So Rabbanan savar yesh eim l'masoides, but Reb Shimon savar yesh eim l'mitra. The Chachamim say, that the primary thing, now, when you have a word in Torah, sometimes you have a word in Torah which is written a certain way and pronounced differently. Now, of course, we have kriyuksiv. We're not really talking about that. But even when you don't have kriyuksiv per se, you have, for example, as the Gemara is going to tell us, the word basukos. Is the word sukos, in order to be unambiguously Lashon Rabbim, it would have to be written samach vav chav vav sof. Instead, in a number of the places where the Torah writes the word, it leaves out the one or both vavim. And when it leaves out, in particular, when it leaves out the second vav, then that makes it, remember, say the Torah is written without nekudas, so it makes it look as though the word is meant to be pronounced basukas, which is a singular. So therefore, so this kind of thing is called mikra versus masurdus. Mikra would be how we actually read the word, which is basukos. Masurdus would be the masurdus that was transmitted to us how to write the word, namely without the vav. So Rabbanan, so now in this case, when it says in some of the places basukas, when it says without the vav, so why do we call it aimul mikra and aimul masurdus? The Rif explains in one of his truvas, the vote is like this. When we're going to be using this limud that we're going to be using as a source for other things, then we call it av, like binyan av mikos of echad. On the other hand, when we're using it only in this context itself, we're not learning from it to other things, then we call it aim. So Rabbanan sabri yesh aim masurdas, Rabb Shimon sabri yesh aim mikra. So the Chachamim say you go according to the Masorta, how the word is written in the Torah, and you daushin based on that. Reb Shimon says you go according to how it's read. Rabbanan Sabri Yesh Eim L'Masoras. So therefore they say like this, Basukas, Basukas, Basukos. The Pesukim have like this, Basukos Teish Rushu Vas Yomim, Kola Ezra Chavisio Yeshu Basukos. So twice in the same passage you have the word Basukos, and in both of them, you have it's written without the second vav. Then you have the next pasuk continues. L'man yedudot aseichem ki basukos hoshavti es bnei Yisrael. There basukos is written with a vav. So therefore, so the Chachamim say like this. Once we so basuka basukas basukas basukos. Let me move over there that way. I can see me. So basukas, basukos, basukas, basukos, harekan arba. In effect, you have a drosha over here that includes four sukkas, because basukas is one, another basukas is another one, and basukos makes another two. So in effect, the pasuk is telling us four times basukas. Dal chad legufei. So you have to subtract one, which is needed legufei, because you need to be told that you have to sit in a sukkah. If you didn't have the word basukas at all anywhere in this sukkim, how would we know that you're supposed to sit in a sukkah? Partial hutlasa, so that leaves three. Therefore, of those three, shtayim kilchasan. Therefore, it means two of them have to be complete walls. Va'asori hilchasav garat l'shlishis va'oik ma'atefa. Then comes the halacha l'moshe v'sinai that we said before, that mechitzis are halacha l'moshe v'sinai and v'garat l'shlishis and reduces the size of the third one va'oik ma'atefa and reduces it down to only a tefa. So that's where we get then that you only need two complete walls plus a tefa. Because we start out with four, we subtract one to tell us that you have to sit in a sukkah, and then we subtract, and then the halacha l'moshe v'sinai tells us of the third one does not have to be complete. Meanwhile, Reb Shimon sava yesh ein l'mikra.
So how do you know that from the last one? How do you know from the last one that could be only a tefach?
So that's the thing. He says that's what halacha l'moshe v'sinai is telling us, that a tefach is enough for the third one.
Okay.
We said before that mechitzin al halacha l'mishum sinai. So one of these aspects of mechitzin that is halacha l'mishum sinai is this concept. We're saying that there can be, for the purposes of a sukkah, there can be a wall which is only a tefach in size. Later on, by the way, we're going to get into the question: does that apply to other areas of halacha as well? Can we apply the same thing to Hilchos Shabbos? We'll get to that later. Okay. Reb Shimon Sava Yesh Em L'Mikra. On the other hand, Reb Shimon holds that you have to look at the way the word is actually pronounced in the pasuk. Basukois, basukois, basukois. Every time we pronounce it with a vav, therefore with a cholam, therefore harei kan sheish. So therefore, in effect, you have six hinted at. Now, of course, that doesn't mean a sukkah has six sides. Dal chad kro legufe. Again, you're subtracting one legufe to tell us the basic concept that you have to sit in a sukkah at all. Partial who arba. So therefore, that leaves you four. So now, sholosh kil chosan. So now, what it means is three walls have to be complete. And then halacha l'mishmi sinai comes and reduces that fourth one and makes it that a tefach is enough. So that's why, according to him, you have to have three complete walls. That's one way of learning it. A second way is the kula alma yesh ein l'mikra. We could say everybody agrees yesh ein l'mikra. You do go according to the way it's read. So never mind the fact that the words are written, some of them chaser and some of them malay. We're going to say that we look at the fact that each one of them is pronounced basuk kois, and therefore that should make a six. But rather the machlokes could be as follows. One of them holds, the Chachamim hold, that you need a separate pasuk to teach us that the sukkah requires schach. Without that, in other words, you wouldn't know what the definition of a sukkah is. You wouldn't know that it requires schach. Whereas Reb Shimon holds, you don't need that. Obviously, the definition of a sukkah, as we said at the very beginning of the Masechta, is that it has schach. Therefore, you don't need a separate pasuk for it. So one way of understanding that, by the way, the Maharam explains that maybe what we would say is, according to the opinion, schacha boikra, what we would say is, in other words, the schach itself, effectively, is one of the walls of the sukkah. In other words, when we're talking about walls of the sukkah, we're not just talking about the ones that surround the sukkah, we can also be talking about the one on top. So therefore, one of them has to go for that, and therefore that reduces by one the number of walls you need. The Ran discusses this point also, and says that the Ran and other and then the Ran himself is an expert. The Oruch HaNer, I think, explains on him that the verdict is now. So the Ran says, okay, but even if you say that schacha loyboikra, even if you say schacha loyboikra, what we're saying is maybe not the basic fact that sukkah needs schach. Obviously, without a sukkah, without schach, how can you call it a sukkah? Rather, the Ran says we're learning from that various other details. For example, the detail that we're going to learn later on in the perek that schach has to be something that grows from the ground and not attached to the ground, that it can't be mekabel tumah, all that kind of thing. According to that, we would learn from one of these basukas. The Oruch HaNer says on that, what do you mean? We learn those things from other psukim. We don't learn those from this word basukas at all. So he says maybe the verdict is that we're learning from this, according to, if we say schacha boikra, what it would mean is we're learning from that, not that it has to have schach, that's obvious, but the fact that the schach has to be within three tefachim of the walls. This that we're going to learn later on in the perek, that if you have empty space of three tefachim horizontally between the schach and one of the walls, and that wall doesn't count, that we would learn maybe from the fact that we say schacha boyakra, that one of these basukas is teaching us the fact that you need schach, not that you need schach as a whole, but that you need it to be close to the walls. The iboyseim, so that's a second way of explaining the Chachamim versus Reb Shimon. The iboyseim, a third possibility, the kula alma yesh em la masodas. Maybe everybody agrees, if I care, that we go according to the masodas of how it's written, and therefore you have some of them are written by sukkas and some of them are written by sukkos. The machlokas then is as follows: mar savak yasoy hilchos of a gadreya. The Chachamim hold that we said that you have halacha l'mishmi sinai as far as mechitzes. That tells us to reduce one of the walls. Like this, you would have thought the wall has to be a complete, that all three walls have to be complete walls. Now we're saying that no, you can have two of them can be complete, and the third one only a tefach. Whereas Reb Shimon is going to say that no, the halacha l'mishmi sinai comes to add, besides the three complete walls, you also need another tefach.
The Iborisema, and a fourth possibility, the Kula Amaki Asari Hilchas of Agareya, we could say everybody agrees that Halacha Meshem Sinai reduces the size of the wall, that instead of needing a full wall, you only need a tefach, and the Yesh Imla Masodas, we're also going to say that they all go according to the Masodas of how it's written in the Torah, Basukas, 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 which equals four then, one, one, and two. The Hocha B'Dershin Tchilas Kamithri. The machloikas would be like this. We took it as a given before that according to both the Chachamim and the Pshimin, you're subtracting one of them because you need legufa. You need to be told to begin with that you're sitting in a sukkah. Now, not necessarily. Maybe we're going to say, do we darshan that first one in addition or not? Marsav darshan tchilas or marsav and darshan tchilas. So therefore, the Pshimin is going to hold that you darshan the first one mentioned as well. Therefore, according to him, all four of them are available and all four of them are available. And then Halacha Moshe Messina tells us, okay, the fourth one doesn't have to be complete. Or Marasava, in Darshan Tchilas, whereas the Chachamim would say, like we said before, you don't Darshan the first one, because you need the Gufa to be told that you need to sit in the Sukkah in the first place, and therefore you only have three to work with, and then Halacha Moshe Messina comes and reduces it by one. Okay. So those are four ways of explaining the Machlokas, all based on the way that's written, or the way it's read in the Torah. Rav Masna says, never mind all that. I have a different reason why Rav Shimon should say you need three complete walls, and why Rav Shimon says that the sukkah should require three complete walls. Time of Rav Shimon mehocha, because he learns it from here, from a pasuk in Yeshaya. We learned that we quoted this pasuk on Beis Amar Aleph. It said the sukkah tiyah letzel yomer mechorev. The sukkah is going to be for shade by day from the heat. It's going to be a refuge and a protection from a stream of hard rain. We talked about on Beis Amar Aleph, we brought this pasuk and learned from it the fact that a sukkah has to be for shade. And therefore they have to be in the shade of the sukkah. But now we're saying the point is the sukkah has to be able to be that it keeps out the rain. Now, not from on top. We talked about, of course, that the schach can't be too thick, that the rain doesn't come in from the top. But in other words, it should, in principle, be able to keep the rain out from the sides. So now, if you don't have four walls, then you don't have, because the rain is going to come in through the open side. Therefore, Rav Shimon says that pasuk is implying that you have to have the fourth side at least partially closed off. Whereas the Chachamim are going to say that no, we don't learn from that. They say, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that this pasuk is not referring to the sukkahs that we sit in nowadays. It's referring to the sukkahs lost at Lavoi, and therefore we don't doubt it. There's a short thing from Reb Levick, Rebbe's father, where he explains that the word zerem and motor, zerem is zayin resh mem 247, motor is mem tes resh 249, and there's 248 s's. So therefore, the sukkah symbolizes the idea of Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra, that where you internalize the message of the sukkah, then you're not going to be adding to the mitzvahs, adding a 249th mitzvah or taking any away and saying that there are only 247. So the sukkah protects from zerem and motor beruchnis. Okay, so fine. So those are all various ways of understanding Reb Shimon's versus the Chachamim's shita. Next, according to the Chachamim, that we said that you need only one tefach for the third wall. So the oisei tefach heichan ma'amidoi. Where do you place that one tefach relative to the rest of the sukkah? Amar Rav ma'amidoi k'neged ha'yotzei. So Rav says you place it by the one that sticks out. So Rashi explains, we said we had an L-shaped sukkah. So now, what do? You have the two diagrams in Rashi over here. You take that one tefach and put it perpendicular to one of those walls, so it's sticking out a little bit. So it looks a little bit like a hangman, or like a hangman shaped thing or something. And then that way, that's the beginning of the third wall. In that case, why are you saying to have it stick out 90 degrees and it only forms like a little bit of a third wall? Instead, you should place it on a diagonal. Rashi explains that Rosh Tur literally means the beginning of a row, like a row in a field. And Rashi explains, when you're plowing a field and you get to the edge of the field, then you start going on diagonals, and each furrow is shorter than the previous one. Therefore, in Gemara terminology, Rosh Tur means a diagonal. The Rambam has a different explanation of it. A tur is a type of jewelry, like you have in Shir Ashirim. Tur rezav natsalach, and it was triangle shaped. Anyway, the point is, they're saying, why don't you place, like you have the first two diagrams on the side over here, where that piece that's sticking out is on a diagonal, and that would be better because that more resembles that now it looks more like it's part of two walls, as opposed to, according to your way that, it's looking like it's only part of one wall, and the fourth side is completely open. So the Gemara says, Shosik Rav. Rav was quiet about that. Now, quiet doesn't necessarily mean, now, there are, the Baal HaMor brings up some, there are Mepharshim who explain that it means that Rav retracted his opinion and said, you know what, you're right, that would be a better way to do it. On the other hand, the Baal HaMor himself says, and so do many other Mepharshim, that no, it means that Rav didn't pay attention to their argument. He didn't consider their argument worthy of considering and refuting. It's fine to have it like the way he said originally at 90 degrees. There's a couple of places in Chassidus where it talks about the idea that sometimes you have a person has something in Chochmah which they can't express in words, and therefore they're quiet, but nevertheless, in Chassidus it usually brings in that connection an example from Gemara and Beitza, but here we have an example, which was the next Masechta we're going to be learning, Bez Hashem, but we have an example of it here also, according to the Baal HaMor, that Rav is being quiet, not because he can't answer, but because he has a reason of his own that he can't express in words why it's better to do it the way he said rather than placing it on a diagonal. Now, there is a whole different explanation of what we said so far about Keneged Hayotze and Rosh Tur. The Ritva brings another explanation that the first case, according to Rav himself, what you're doing is you're putting that third piece, that one kefach, like a leg of a hay. So you have two complete walls, like an L shape, and then you have the third one is placed in the corner, opposite one of them. So then Rav Kahana and Rav Asi are asking Rav, in that case, if we're putting it in that corner anyway, why put it perpendicular to the other walls? Instead, put it on a diagonal in that corner, so that you have, it's also still like the leg of a hay, but instead of being parallel to one or the other of the walls, it's on a 45 degree angle to both of them, and therefore it more resembles like it makes the beginnings of two walls on that side. And again, according to that, Shosik Rav, either that Rav changed his mind or that Rav didn't bother responding to that because he said it doesn't make a difference. Well, so now. Here we're going to be talking about now the actual dinim of what's required for walls or not. Lamaisa, we're going to see as we go through that there are machlokasin on a number of details that we're going to talk about. The result is that Amos says, in practice, let's not rely on such kolas. Just make yourself four complete walls and have done with it rather than relying on these various potential kolas. There is, by the way, in this connection that we're talking about the tefach over there, and the Gemara is going to mention soon another opinion that the tefach is a few tefachim away from the nearest wall. You have the famous vote. I don't know what the original source of it is, but that the kids always bring it home when it comes close to the sukkahs, that the word sukkah itself, the letters of the word sukkah itself resemble the various types of kosher sukkah. A samach that's surrounded by four walls, a chof that's surrounded only by three, and a hay that has two and a half. Okay. So, itmar nami, they said. The vav does not make a good sukkah. Itmar nami, they said also, omash shmul mishmei de Levi, ma'amide k'neged ayotze. Shmul also says in the name of Levi, like Rab had said, that you put the tefach by the yotze, which again, according to Rashi, means next to one of the existing walls at a 90 degree angle. And according to the Ritva, it means at the opposite corner. V'chein modin ve'medrash ma'amide k'neged ayotze. And they say like that, they pass them like that in the Beis Medrash, the same way. Now, a different opinion, Reb Simon, v'itemer Reb Yishur ben Levi Omar. No, you don't do that. You don't put it right next to one of the edges. You don't put it in the opposite corner. Rather, oisalei tefach soichet. What you do is, your tefach has to be a tefach soichet. It has to be a little bit wider than the average tefach. Rashi describes a regular tefach you make by putting your fingers together to form, and you measure the width of your hand. That's a tefach. But here, what you're doing is you're keeping the fingers more loosely apart so that the fingers are not touching one another. So now, therefore, it's somewhat more than a tefach. And then, then you place it within three tefachim of one of the walls. So this is the third diagram down in Rashi. Or next to Rashi. So that way, what you accomplish by that is that so because it's within three tefachim of the nearest wall, no, you're right. It's by you guys, Gemara's at the top one. I'm sorry. The top one, which shows it a little bit of a distance from the nearest wall. Yeah. So what you do is, so now the piece itself is at least a tefach, is over a tefach. It's within three tefachim of the doifen. Then we can apply lavud to say that now you have four tefachim closed off, and four tefachim is the majority of the length of the side of a sukkah, because a sukkah we said needs to be only 7 by 7 tefachim. Therefore you've now accomplished that. Now you have four tefachim. So Tosfos points out the reason is you want to have that now in principle, if you just need the majority of the wall is 7 tefachim, so you should just need a little bit more than 3.5. But you want to have that it should be four tefachim wall. And then Mephoshim explained, the reason is you want to have Rav HaNikar. You don't just want to have that barely a mathematical 50% plus a little bit. You want to have enough that it's visibly most of the wall, and that you accomplish only with four tefachim. Okay. So that's how you do it. Next, Amar Rav Yehuda, Sukkah HaSuya K'mavri K'sheva. Now, Rav Yehuda says another din. Till now, we've been talking about where the two walls are one next to the other, like an L. Now, what about if the two walls are parallel to one another, which is the next diagram down in Rashi? So he says ksheira, such a sukkah is also kosher, and the same thing for oisit tefach. Now, of course, two walls is not enough. We said you need a tefach for the third wall, so the tefach man nidi l'chol ruach shiyutze. You can put it on any side you want, because he holds like Rav before, who said that you have to put the third tefach sticking out 90 degrees from one of the two walls. Here, where you have two walls parallel to each other, then you can put it in any of four places, and it'll be valid. On the other hand, again, Rav Simon v. Tamer Rav Shurban Levi Amar, Rav Simon says, or some say Rav Shurban Levi say, no, in this case, you need something more than that. In this case, you need a piece of wood or whatever that is over four tefachim wide. You place it within three tefachim near one of the walls. And again, and that way what you've accomplished with that is now you have the majority of that side is closed off. So the question is, why do you need four tefachim? Why, when you had two walls next to each other, is a tefach soichik enough? And then now we're saying you need four, according to, so Rabbi Huda at least is being consistent. He's saying no matter what, you need only a tefach. But why is Rabbi Simon or Rabbi Shurban Levi saying that in this case with two parallel walls, you need a thing over four tefachim wide? The answer is, the difference is that there you have two walls that are already properly made that are one next to the other. So therefore you have more of a semblance of a sukkah kind of. So one tefach is enough. But here you don't even have two proper walls because the walls are not even connected one to the other. Therefore, only if you have a piece four tefachim wide is it good enough, because that way the solid piece itself constitutes the majority of the wall on that side, and then in addition you have it within three tefachim of one of the sides, and that way you have lavud. But if not, then it's not going to work. Omar Rava. So Rava says, "V'einani teres elabat surat ha-pesach." Now, a sukkah is going to be mutter. This sukkah is going to be mutter only with a surat ha-pesach. So there's a big machlokas among the Rishonim. Is Rava referring to the first case that we were talking about, where you have two walls one next to the other, like an L, and then you put in the third one within three tefachim of one of the walls, and it's one tefach wide, and Rava would be saying that in that case, that what you do is you make a tzuras ha-pesach, Or is Rava talking about only the case that we did, the case that we just finished with, involving the two walls parallel to one another? And there, Rava would be saying that on the third side, you need a source of passive. So that's one version of how Rava said the statement. Rashi explains, according to Rava, then it would mean when we say that Rava would be saying, when we say you have a tefach on the third side, it would be a different opinion. So far we had Rav says that you put it sticking out of one of the two walls. You had Rav Simon or Rav Yishuv and Levi saying that you put it within three tefachim of one of the walls in order to use lavud. Rava, according to this, would be saying another opinion that he would say the tefach consists of, you have a pole, a half a tefach thick, another pole, a half a tefach thick, and between them you have a wire or whatever for tzuras ha-pesach. Above them you have a wire or a piece of wood or whatever to form the top of the tzuras ha-pesach. So that would be, according to Rava, how you're doing that last tefach. So in other words, not that it would be one solid piece of tefach in one of the corners or within three tefachim of the corner or whatever, but rather that it would have to be split up and made into a tzuras ha-pesach. And Tosfos adds, according to that, usually with the tzuras ha-pesach, we don't care how wide the side pieces are. As long as they're strong enough to hold a door, even a very lightweight door on them, then they're still considered kosher. But here, according to this, we'd be saying, since you need mechitzas hanikaris, you need recognizable walls, therefore you would have to have a half tefach on each side. So that's one way. Ikadamri, omar rabba bini teres nami tzuras ha-pesach. A second version is that Rava said, according to the first version, Rava had said that it's only mutter with a tzuras ha-pesach. According to the second version, just the opposite. He's saying it can be mutter also with a tzuras ha-pesach. In other words, according to the second version, Rava would say it's fine to do like Rav or Rabbi Shrub and Levi respectively, but a different way of doing it is instead you can make a tzuras ha-pesach on that third side. Ika da'amri, omar Rava with tzricha nami tzuras ha-pesach. And then there's a third version that Rava said it also needs a tzuras ha-pesach. It's not enough to have, not that he says he needs a tzuras ha-pesach for the fourth wall. We said only Rav Shimon requires that. No, according to the third version, Rava would be saying that you need both. You need a tefach etzel hayotze, like we said before. In addition, you also need a piece on the opposite corner, and you make a tzuras ha-pesach between them. So that way, you have one or the other. Either the tefach is being machshir your sukkah, or the tzuras ha-pesach, and you need both. It would be on the same wall, yes. So what you would have is, if you have the last diagram, and Rashi over here illustrates it, or at least I have the last diagram. You have it also. The last diagram illustrates how you have, so you have a piece next to one of the walls, then you have from there to the opposite corner, then you have from there to the corner, there extends out a wire for a tzuras ha-pesach. So according to the third version, then Rava is saying you need a tefach within three tefachim of the wall or next to the wall, like Rav or Rabbi Shurban Levi respectively has said. And in addition, so that little piece by the third wall is the pashtus, and that to represent the tefach. But if not, then okay, then we don't have a diagram for it here, I guess. But the point is, Rava would be saying that you have your tefach, which you place, like Rav had said, keneged hayotze, that you place it next to one of the walls, and then in addition, you also have, or according to the Bishurban Levi, you put it within three tefachim of one of the walls, and in addition, then the rest of that side is filled up with a tzuras ha-pesach. And according to that third version of Rava, you would need both of those. Again, you do have Rishonim that learn that all of this that Rava is saying about a tzuras ha-pesach would apply only to the case where the two walls are parallel to one another. But if they were adjacent, then Rava wouldn't be saying that. And others say that it means even if they're adjacent, Rava is still saying that a tefach on one side, according to the third version, a tefach on the third side is not enough. You also need a tzuras ha-pesach. So the Gemara tells Rav Ashi Ashkechel Rav Kahana to Fa'ovid Tefach Soichik. Rav Ashi. Who was a Talmud of Rav Kahana, one time he found Rav Kahana putting up a tefach sotik because of a tzuras ha-pesach, and he's making a tzuras ha-pesach. Omale, so he says, why do you need to bother with that? Lois sava mar lahodir rava. Don't you hold Rebbe of what Rava said? Rav Kahana was in fact one of Rava's Talmidim. The Amar Rava when he teres Nami with Tzuras HaPesach, where Rava said in the second version that it's also Mutter with the Tzuras HaPesach, and therefore you don't need the Tefach Soichik and the Tzuras HaPesach. It's one or the other. Amalei, and he answers him, Anok Idach. The Rava Svirali, I hold like the other, like the third version of what Rava said. That's not enough to have the Tefach. You also need a Tzuras HaPesach beside that. So that is the halacha. Again, it's a, given that these halachas are complicated and it's not always so easy to know whether you've done the right thing. So therefore, better, it says in Shulchan Aruch, don't rely on such a tatum, just construct proper walls. In fact, I think the Ramah says that if a person has a choice of making four incomplete walls, four walls where he's going to have to rely on Lovewood and other, and so does the Pesachs and other such things, versus he has enough material to make three complete walls, better he should make three complete walls. And that way, three complete walls, we know for sure, is kosher. It's completely open on the fourth side. Fine, doesn't matter. The sukkahs they made in the times of the Gemara typically were that way. They were closed in only on three sides and completely open on the fourth wall. We'll talk about certain nafkaminis that come out of that, lahalocha, in the next peret, says Hashem. But, so therefore, so better not to rely on these various etatim. But you still need to know these dinim in case it comes up. Sadly, what we have is we don't have the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch on this inyan. All of this inyan about the dinim of the walls is in Siman Tov Resh Lamed in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch. We're missing the end of Siman Tov Resh Chavtes and then all of Tov Resh Lamed. So it's hard to say. So it's hard to say in many of these things what the Alter Rebbe's opinion would be about these various details of the Tvanis. So to a certain extent, we can learn them from things that he says in other places, but yeah. Okay. Then we said, Shtayim Kilchosim. We said that ultimately you have two complete walls, and then you have a Tefach for the third wall, and according to the last version of Rava, in addition to the Tefach, you have a Tzuras HaPesach. So Omar Rava v'chem the Shabbos. Rava, or Hagoy Sabach says it here, it might be Rabba, says the same thing is for Shabbos. Meaning, Shabbos, in order for a place to be Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it has to have three complete walls. But during the Shabbos that comes out during Sukkot, let's say you made, Rashi gives the example, let's say you built a Sukkah in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Now, let's say if you build it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim itself, actually it's a Sukkah Gzula. So we're talking about, Rashi says, let's say it's right next to your front door. So the B'nai Rosh Hashanah Rabbim don't have a problem with you using that area. It's anyway your front stoop pretty much, but you built a sukkah like that of two complete walls and a partial third one. Are you allowed to carry in that sukkah or to carry in and out of that sukkah on Shabbos? The answer is yes. V'chein l'Shabbos. The same thing would be as far as Shabbos doing sukkahs. Nigo to have your dokum in sukkah, have your dokum in Shabbos. Since this third wall of a tefah is considered a wall as far as sukkah, therefore for that Shabbos as well, it counts as a mechitza. The rest of the Shabbos during the year not, but only the Shabbos during the sukkah. Yeah. Eis ve'abaya. So Abaya says, "Umiya minin migui." Do we say a migui like this that once it's kosher for one purpose, then automatically it's kosher for another, and then automatically it works for another purpose. I should mention, by the way, there are opinions about this. For example, I think the Ran brings that maybe when we're saying that in Shabbos, maybe it's only as far as that if a person were to throw something or carry something from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to this sukkah with the 2.5 walls, then it would be chayav for carrying on Shabbos. Not necessarily would we mean that you're allowed to carry in the actual sukkah. So Esva Bayo Mia Munin Migui, do we say Migui at all? Vahatanya, Dofen Sukkah ke Dofen Shabbos, the walls of Sukkah are just like the walls of Shabbos. In other words, all kinds of walls that the Chachamim were matter for purposes on Shabbos are also valid for Sukkah. As long as you don't have three tfachim between one stick and the next. In Masechta Eruvin, the Gemara tells us scenarios over there where you have usually a wall consists of shesi ve'eruv. You have horizontal and vertical in the wall. But sometimes you can have where you only have the ability to construct a horizontal, a wall, out of horizontal ropes, for example. So let's say you put up stakes in the ground, you put up one rope within three tefachim of the ground, then another one within three tefachim of that, and another one within three tefachim of that, and as long as if the ropes themselves add up if the thickness of the ropes themselves adds up more than a tefach, then you have a mechitza over here, that's 10 tefachim tall. Or you have another way where you have only vertical, no horizontal. You put stakes into the ground, each one within 3 tefachim of the next one. So such a thing is considered a rule as far as Shabbos. Namely, the Mishnah tells us in Eruvin that if you have, for example, people camping out on Shabbos, they're allowed to use the thing as a mechitza to be able to carry inside. So the same rules as for work at for a sukkah, as long as you don't have 3 tefachim between one stick and the next, because if you do, then that's considered a pirza, and then we have to start figuring out whether we have oimin meruba ala parutz or the other way around. If we have, in the case of the horizontal ropes, or the case of the vertical stakes, it doesn't matter the fact that physically most of the area is open, because less than 3 tefachim is lavud, and therefore as far as halacha is concerned, we consider as though the whole thing was closed. But if you have a space of 3 tefachim in one place, then that's going to be a pirza, and if you have enough pirzas, then it's going to invalidate the mechitza. So, continues the Braisa, the Yisera Shabbos al Sukkah. Now, Shabbos has an advantage over Sukkah. Shabbos in the Teres Elaba Oymen Meruba al Aporutz. With Shabbos, it becomes mutter only if you have more closed in than open area. Mashenkin Mesukkah. As opposed to a Sukkah, you don't have that. It's enough to have Shtayim Keochosim after Shlishis after the Tefach. And Rashi adds, even if you have in the 2 solid walls, even if you have doorways in those as well, even if you have Pirtzis in those as well, so that they're not full, so they're not full walls. So altogether, if you measure the circumference, if you measure the perimeter of the sukkah, you're going to have more open than closed. Doesn't matter because you have two more or less complete walls on the 2 sides, and you have the tepach on the 3rd side. So as opposed to Shabbos, you would have to look at the entire perimeter and see whether you have omen or malaparas. Now, my lav, so says Abaya to Rava, my lav, Yisera Shabbos to Sukkah, Asukkah, doesn't it mean that even Shabbos during Sukkahs has an advantage, has a chumrah over the Sukkah itself, meaning the lo yamin and migui? So we don't say migui. So even during the Shabbos of Sukkahs, then, such a place is not considered a Rishus Yachid because it's Porus Murubala Oymed. Not like you're telling me that during the Shabbos of Sukkot, it would be considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So therefore, v'lo yamin and migui. So we don't say migui. So the answer is loy. You say to Shabbos de Alma, al Shabbos de Sukkah. No, maybe what it means is Shabbos throughout the year has an advantage over the Sukkah. But Shabbos during Sukkot has a different rule. So the question is, Ihochi listenami you say to Sukkah de Alma, al Sukkah de Shabbos. In that case, then you could say, the other way around, you could say that there's a certain chumrah in Sukkot, in the rest of the Yom Tov of Sukkot, over the Shabbos of Sukkot. The Sukkot the Almaboya Tefach Soichik. We just said before that the one Tefach that you put in for the 3rd wall has to be a Tefach Soichik. It has to be not a tight Tefach where the fingers are pressed together, but rather a Tefach Soichik where they're held more loosely. The Sukkot the Shabbos Leiboya Tefach Soichik, the Sagi Belech. Whereas when it would come to Shabbos doing Sukkot, by that logic, you wouldn't require a Tefach Sukkot. All you would require is a Lechi. Namely, in Erevin, we're told that if you have a Mavui, now a Mavui, typically you have a Mavui Sosum, which is closed in on 3 sides and open on the 4th, and on the 4th side, you put a Lechi or a Koda. Then you have a Mavui Mefulosh, where it's open on both ends to different Rosh Hashanah. So during the rest of the year, then a mavi mefulosh, it's not enough to just put up a lechi. You'd have to put up a tzuras a pesach at one end and then a lechi at the other end. But now we're saying on the face of it, when it comes to Shabbos of Sukkot, all you need is a lechi at the open end. You yourself, Rava said, that if you put schach above a mavui, and then Rashi adds a mavui mefulosh, then it would be kosher. Rashi says it would be kosher only for the Shabbos during Sukkot. It would not be kosher for the rest of the days of Sukkot, because this concept that a lechi can function as a mechitza only applies on Shabbos. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who hold, what? On Shabbos during Sukkot. Right, only on, no. The concept that a lechi can form a wall and that you're allowed to carry in this mavui applies only on Shabbos. On a weekday, there's no such thing as a lechi. Therefore, applying that to here, it would mean that only on Shabbos of Sukkot would you be able to use this, where it has the two parallel walls of the Mavri and then the Lechi at the third end. And the Lechi on the third side. And again, since for Hilchos Shabbos, that's considered enough to carry in that Mavri. Therefore, for the Halachas of Sukkah, it would be good enough as well, but only on the Shabbos during Sukkot, not during the rest of the days of Sukkot. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who learned that it would work during the rest of Sukkot as well. It just wouldn't work, during the rest of the year. It would work on Shabbos, it would work on every Shabbos of the year, and it would work, so the point is, though, that we're saying that usually during Sukkot you require a Tefach Seichet, but here we're saying that you require only a Lechi, which can be narrower than a Tefach. Now, there is a different explanation. Here, Rashi is explaining that we're talking about a Mavri Mefulosh with a Lechi at one end. There are Mefoshim who explain, rather, we're talking about a Mavri Sosum, the usual kind of Mavri that's closed in on three sides, and you have a Lechi on the fourth side. So as far as Hilchos Shabbos, of course, you're allowed to carry in there. It's enclosed on three sides. On a Daraisa level, it's already Rosh Hashanah, even without a Lechi. The point is, let's say, instead of putting Schach along the entire length of the Mavri, you started only someplace in the middle of the Mavri and put Schach towards the end. So if here's the Mavri over here, like this, you have 1, 2, 3 walls, but instead of putting Schach on the whole length from beginning to end, which if you did that, or if you started from the far end, obviously there'd be no problem, you have three complete walls, but instead you started from the middle, you started making over here. So that back wall can't count as one of the walls of the sukkah. It's more than three tefachim from the, more than three tefachim of empty space from it to the sukkah. Therefore, we're talking only at two walls and the lechi, and we're saying because the lechi makes it mutter to carry in the mavri on Shabbos, therefore it would also make the sukkah mutter, but ordinarily you need tefach seichet. The answer, so why doesn't the Braisa mention that there's an advantage to Sukkah, that Sukkah has a Chumrah over Shabbos? The answer is, the Braisa didn't need to mention that. If we say that even going from Kal to Chomer, we say Sukkah has a greater Kula. After all, there's no lav involved in it. It's strictly a mitzvah, I say. And even we're saying it's a wall for the Sukkah, and it's even a wall as far as Hilchos Shabbos, which are more stringent. How much more so we wouldn't have needed to even say that it applies in reverse, that if something is considered a wall for Shabbos, it's considered a wall for Sukkahs, because obviously, even for Shabbos, which is an Esa and a Lois Esa, and with a Schiv Misa, etc., where it counts as a wall, how much more so for a Sukkah that would count as a wall? So the Braisa didn't even need to bother mentioning that point. Gufa, getting back to, we said Omar Rava. We said if you put Tzach on top of a Mavri that has a Lechi, then it's kosher. And again, are we talking about a Mavri Mefulosh and there's just a Lechi at the open end? Or are we talking about a Mavri Sosum with a Lechi, but you didn't do along the whole Mavri? So that's number one. But Omar Rava, then Rava says another din, Sikha Chagavi Pase Beirois Sheva. Also, now we talked about yesterday or the day before, we talked about Pase Beirois, these L-shaped things that you put around a well. Where you have, again, there's wells. The Oile Regel want to be able to draw water for their animals and for themselves on Shabbos. But the well itself is a Rishas HaYachid, and it's standing in Rishas HaRabim. So therefore, the Chachamim allowed that you put these L-shaped things, you put these L-shaped poles, they're called Diumdin, around the well. And as long as there's not, now here in the diagram, you have, they look like they're fairly close together. If they were actually constructed that way, you wouldn't need any din de rabbanon to be mat of them. They'd be full-fledged walls because each one is omen mirubala parts. The actual configuration is, though, that each of the corners is only an amma in each direction, and then you have a space of as much as 10 ammas, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, 13 and a third ammas between one and the next. So it's very much parts mirubala omen. But you do have the appearance of four walls, because each side you have two poles in the corners, and therefore the Chachamim would master it for that purpose. So now Rava says, if you were to put Schach over these Pase Berois, then it would be a Sheira, then it would be a valid Sukkah for the Shabbos of Sukkot. Again, even though usually we need Shtayim Kilchos, and even though usually you need two complete walls, and here you don't have any complete walls because all you have is the corners, nevertheless, for the Shabbos doing Sukkot, it would be good. Some of the Mephoshim do say that, well, at least you have to have a well in the middle. If you were to just put up in your backyard four Yumdin like that and put Tzach on them, no, there's no way it would work. Okay. So now, why does Rava have to tell us both Dinim? Both of them are based on the same principle, which is that you have something which is considered a wall as far as Shabbos, the Lechi or the Pasa Beroes, respectively, counts for Sukkah. So the Gemara says, Utsricha. Rava had to tell us both things. De'iashmin and Mavui, if we were only told the case of a Mavui, you would say, you know why it works, Mishum de'ikash states banas mal yosa. Because after all, you do have two full-fledged walls. Fine, they're parallel to one another rather than in an L shape, like you said before, but still, at least those two walls, those two parallel walls, are at least complete walls. But when it comes to the pasadiros, the leka state finance mal yosa, you don't have two complete walls even, because on each side, all you have is those corner pieces. A malo, you might have thought, but not, it doesn't work, and you can't use it for a sukkah. Because after all, you have to have shtayim kel chosen. The iashmin and pasadiros, and conversely, if you only told us that it's allowed by pasadiros, you would say, mishum de'ikha shame abat funis. At least you have the semblance of four walls. When you look on each side, you see a diumud on one side and a diumud on the other side. And therefore, no matter which side you look, you see something that resembles a wall. Abel sitta hagami mavi, the lekha shame abat funis. But with a mavi, you don't have, because you have, again, either the mavi is open at one end, or you didn't put the schach all the way to the back wall of the mavi. You started someplace in the middle. So you don't even have a semblance of four walls. Aim alone, you might think that not, that it doesn't work. The Iashmin and Hani Tauti, then if you only had those two, and he didn't also mention the fact that we said before at the beginning of the Sugya, the Chayim LaShabbos, that the same rules that apply to the Sukkah apply, that such rules are also usable as walls on Shabbos, and you can, and again, maybe you can carry in that Sukkah on Shabbos, or maybe you can't carry in it, but at least it is considered a Rosh Hashanah as far as you can throw something to it. Anyway, if he only told us the two dinim about the Mavri and the Pasa Beroes, you would think mechamilti lekilta. Again, once you're saying that they work as mechitzas for Shabbos, which is more chamur, then of course they work for sukkahs, which is more lenient. Ava mekilta lechamira emaloi. You wouldn't know the other way around, that when you have the tefach of the third wall of the sukkah, which sukkah is much more lenient than Shabbos, you wouldn't know that it applies to Shabbos as well, to make that place be considered a reshusa yachid for Shabbos. Therefore, tzricha, therefore we need all three of Rava's statements in order to make it clear that that's how it is. It goes in both directions. Today's daf is officially evolved, yeah. But like I said before, we're trying to get a little bit ahead because we're going to be missing because of Tisha B'Av, right?
Oh, good idea.